Hello again. You're listening to the news at 1. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is addressing the United States Congress by video link this lunchtime, as peace talks with Russia appear to be making some progress. President Zelensky had already said negotiations were beginning to sound more realistic. The Kremlin earlier suggested a neutral Ukraine along the lines of Sweden or Austria was being discussed, but 21 days into the conflict, the fighting continues. The Ukrainian capital, Kyiv, is in complete lockdown today amid growing fears of a Russian attack on the city. ABC News correspondent Patrick Rivel is in Kyiv. He spoke to me before we came on air.
Yeah, so right now, Kyiv is essentially under full lockdown. It's under a curfew until Thursday, so no one is allowed on the streets. It's completely deserted except for Ukrainian checkpoints. But for the last 3 days, really, we've heard very intense fighting from the edges of the city. And particularly last night, we're just hearing these very, very intense artillery battles going on, mainly to the north, where you're hearing multiple rocket launches, just artillery booming through the night. It sounds sort of like rolling thunder. And then this morning, we've been hearing small arms fire coming from different parts of the city. It's very hard to know for sure, you know, what is going on, except in these areas to the north where there has been intense fighting really since the start of the war. And as far as we know, the Russians aren't making much progress, but there is still this very intense, this intense shelling that we're hearing from where we are right in the city centre.
And we're getting reports, I don't know if you can confirm these, that a number of apartment blocks have been hit by Russian artillery or Russian missiles.
Yeah, so I think that's a result of this intensification of the fighting, and particularly this use of artillery in the areas just north of the city. Basically, I think this is stray rockets are more and more striking the outer suburbs and hitting these residential buildings, and they are causing huge damage. You know, each time that one of these rockets hits, it seems to pretty much gut the entire buildings. We were out at one where we were meeting people who were basically, you know, rescuing what was left of their apartments, lowering their belongings out of windows because, you know, the interior staircases had been shattered. And unfortunately, for the last 3 days, we just wake up every morning finding that another residential building has been struck.
And what's the thinking behind the curfew, Patrick? Why has this been ordered, that people stay in for until tomorrow?
So I've been talking with some former officials who have said that partly it's to try and prevent saboteurs. And we had a long curfew once before where they were concerned basically that Russian saboteurs were breaking into the city, sometimes disguised as Ukrainian troops. And it's been suggested that this is a second attempt to kind of do a sweep for saboteurs. The other idea that we're hearing, though, is that there was a concern about a possible Russian push to try and break into the city. Of course, the two things could be connected. But really, we don't know. We know that the Ukrainians are also saying they're hoping to try and launch counterattacks in some directions. But for all right now, the only thing we really can be sure of is that there is very intense fighting going on in the north of the city, or to the north of the city, I should say.
And what about the negotiations, Patrick, between the Ukrainians and the Russians to try to agree some kind of cessation to end the fighting? Are there indications that some progress has been made there?
You know, I think actually we heard some pretty significant comments coming out of Russia today. We heard from the lead Russian negotiator at these talks that are ongoing right now. We heard from him that supposedly Ukraine is proposing that it adopt neutral status, specifically according to following the model of Sweden and Austria. And what that means is being a country that isn't part of NATO, but has its own army and also has very close ties to the West, and in particular can be a member of the European Union. And right now, Ukraine hasn't confirmed that. Ukraine's negotiator basically didn't deny it directly either, though. He did, though, suggest that the situation, the picture is much more complicated than that. And he suggested particularly that what Ukraine is demanding is that it get ironclad security guarantees, it seems, from Western countries as well, that if Russia continues its aggression again in the future, that they would intervene to protect Ukraine, which seems a very difficult thing to resolve. But I think, you know, what is significant, the most significant thing, is that Russia is suggesting this, because it seems that Russia is lowering its war aims. You know, in reality, when Russia was demanding that Ukraine never join NATO, behind that really was a demand that Ukraine not be able to chart its own course, not get closer to the West. And at the moment, what seems to be going on is that both sides are kind of narrowing it down more and more and more to this kind of narrow guarantee that Ukraine not join NATO. And the thing is, that it was never on the table that Ukraine would join NATO, really. All sides, including NATO, knew that it would take years, probably decades, if ever, that Ukraine join. And I think the Ukrainians know that and are not willing to keep seeing thousands, tens of thousands of their people killed and injured for the sake of something that they know won't happen. But at the same time, they know that what this demand is from Russia, they want it not to be them sacrificing their, their sovereignty and their ability to be their independence. So if they can narrow it, I think now there is a concrete search for language that both sides can find some kind of find somehow acceptable. And I think it's significant that Russia is doing that. It suggests that it knows it's having serious problems on the ground, and that this is a way, and that it's seeking now for a sort of diplomatic way out of this, what they fear is becoming a quagmire for them.
Meanwhile, then, President Zelensky is due to address the United States Congress by video link. We've also had reports from Washington of the Americans providing further military assistance. I think the figure mentioned is something of the order of $800 million worth of further military hardware. So while at the one time these talks are continuing, there's also continuing demand, if you like, or request from Ukraine for practical military aid.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, of course. One of the things we're hearing as well from the US side, US officials have told us that for the time being, they don't believe that diplomacy is likely to work in the short term. I mean, it's hard to know. Things are moving fast, but they're very much, as we see, there is heavy fighting going on around the city. Russia very much hasn't stopped its bombardments. People, they're continuing to carry out major strikes all over the country. And so at the same time as these talks are going on, Ukraine very much wants more military assistance, and the US believes it needs more military assistance. We know that they're also looking at ways of trying to supply potentially more combat drones, for example, things like that, because there's very much a belief that this war is ongoing, which is totally correct, and that the only way for Ukraine to force Russia to a more acceptable negotiating position is to continue to inflict major pain on the Russian invasion.
ABC News reporter Patrick Rivel speaking to us from Kyiv. Well, in the last few minutes, President Zelensky, in his address to the US Congress, has said his country is grateful for what he described as the overwhelming support of the United States, but he called for stronger sanctions against Russia and repeated his request for a no-fly zone over Ukraine. Meanwhile, defense ministers from the NATO alliance are meeting in Brussels today to discuss the invasion of Ukraine ahead of a NATO summit scheduled for next week. The United States and other NATO members say they'll keep helping Ukraine while also adapting the alliance's own security to what's described as the new reality triggered by the war. US Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said that NATO members were united in their support for Ukraine.
Ukraine has a legitimate and sovereign government, and certainly we support their ability to defend themselves, and we'll continue to support them going forward. We've been clear throughout that we believe that our commitment to NATO, our Article 5 commitment, is ironclad, and you can expect that, as the President has said a number of times, that we will abide by that commitment.
U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Well, earlier I spoke to Jamie Shea, a former senior NATO official and currently an advisor to the organization, about what will be under discussion today.
Well, I think the first thing, Brian, is that NATO is very keen to stay united because the unity, solidarity, sticking together, particularly in terms of reconfirming the commitment to the Article 5 collective defense guarantee. As President Biden says, every inch of NATO territory will be defended. This is an important signal. Putin is always looking for divisions in the NATO alliance that he can probe, so NATO will want to make sure that that doesn't happen. The second thing, more concretely, is that the Russian invasion of Ukraine has exposed NATO's inadequate, insufficient defences on the eastern flank. NATO does have a presence, for example, four multinational battalions in the Baltic states and Poland, but these don't even add up to 5,000 troops. And so clearly now that there is a more negative, more alarmist perception of the Russian military threat. There is an urgency to replace those battalions with brigades or even divisions to have a more permanent presence on NATO's eastern flanks, air defense, missile defense, heavy armor, and to extend that presence down to the Black Sea in places like Slovakia, Romania, Bulgaria. The third thing that's going to come up, I think, very briefly, is, of course, what more can NATO allies do to assist the Ukraine supply of weapons and to keep the Ukrainian army in the field, in the fight, for as long as possible.
The one thing NATO has ruled out is the imposition of any no-fly zone over Ukraine. That's something that President Zelensky and other Ukrainian leaders have been repeatedly looking for. I mean, the implications of that kind of move, what's involved in setting up a no-fly zone over a country under attack as Ukraine is and over such a vast territory?
Well, that's, of course, the $64,000 question. You can declare a no-fly zone, of course, and then do nothing in the hope that somehow the Russians take it seriously and no longer fly their aircraft over Ukraine. But given where they are at the moment, the invasion has been going on for 3 weeks, I don't think Russia is going to respect a purely declaratory policy by NATO. So that would mean, Brian, that NATO would have to enforce it. And of course, that means that NATO would literally have to attack Russia to destroy all of the very modern, very extensive Russian air defense systems. Your listeners may have heard of things like, you know, S-400s, S-500s, very long-range, very capable air defense systems that can fire over 400 kilometers. That means that NATO would have to go deep inside Russia, potentially Belarus, Kaliningrad as well, to destroy those systems. And it's very difficult to do that without sort of declaring war on Russia. Russia would certainly perceive it that way and extending the conflict. The other problem with the no-fly zone, of course, is it does not stop the Russians using artillery on the ground to shell Ukrainian cities, which is what they're doing at the moment. So it doesn't really diminish the fighting on the ground either.
On the diplomatic front, these talks are continuing between both sides, and we've had over the last 24 hours or so President Zelensky, in effect, it seems, ruling out any application by Ukraine to join NATO. Now, how do you see that as part of the efforts to achieve a cessation of the fighting? And has Ukraine actually been a serious contender for NATO membership?
Well, certainly to answer the final aspect of your question first, NATO did offer back in 2008 Ukraine the possibility to be a member of NATO, although Ukraine didn't really start to take that seriously until 2014, after a Crimea, part of its territory, was annexed, of course, by Russia. The Ukrainian membership of NATO was not about to happen anytime soon, and therefore President Putin can't sort of use the pretext that, you know, he invaded Ukraine on February the 24th, because on February the 25th Ukraine was going to join NATO. That certainly was not going to happen. Of course, it's the sovereign right of Ukraine to decide whether to pursue the NATO option or not. NATO doesn't impose membership, of course, on members. They become candidates of their own free will. But I certainly think that NATO will keep the door to Ukraine open for a future occasion. But of course, now that Ukraine has made that big gesture to Russia, will Russia call off the war? That doesn't seem likely, because Putin seems to have much more expansive war aims. Denazification, whatever that means. Demilitarization of Ukraine. This is the problem, you know. Putin's war aims are very amorphous, and they go well beyond, in my view, the simple question of whether Ukraine is a member of NATO or not.
Former NATO official Jamie Shea speaking to us earlier. Well, as we've been reporting, the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has been addressing in the last few minutes the United States Congress. He's receiving a standing ovation for his comments, which included a description of the devastation caused to his country by the Russian invasion.
Right now, the destiny of our country is being decided. The destiny of our people, whether Ukrainians will be free, whether they will be able to preserve their democracy. Russia has attacked not just us, not just our land, not just our cities. It went on a brutal offensive against our values, basic human values.
The comments via an interpreter of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to the American Congress in the last few minutes. Well,